Today's daf is daf chof ches. We're holding by the Halakir Mishnah. Kol hana'ase damim be'acher. Kivan shezacha ze nitchayav ze b'chalifas. We have discussed until now kinyan of kesev and shtar and chazakah. Now we want to discuss the kinyan of chalipin. Chalipin, of course, we talked about earlier, b'nogeh chalipin by Kedusha Isha. We said it doesn't apply to Kedusha Isha. Now let's get into the ideas of chalipin. Basically, we learn out from the story in Rut that the way in which people would make a timura, ala gula, ala timura, the timura means an exchange. So there was a kinyan that was called bartering, timura. V'shalaf ish na'alo, you take off your shoe and hand it to the other guy, which means that you could formalize a kinyan through an exchange of some worthless item, and then the other person will be zeche in what it is that he's given you. The truth is it's a machlokas, who takes off the shoe and so on, but that's a formalized chalipin. In terms of the reality of chalipin, the basic chalipin, two people are bartering. Bartering means they have things of equal value, or approximate equal value that they're willing to exchange. So had I been translating one item into its value, into its monetary value, and I gave its monetary value in cash, what would have been the halacha? The kesef is not kena. So if I want to change my mind, I can change my mind. I would have to do mishicha. But when I do the same thing with an exchange, as soon as one person takes the value, not because it's value, which would have been a kinyan kesef, but takes it in exchange for something else, the kinyan is chal on both sides. And now nobody could change their minds. So bartering is chal immediately as soon as one is kinyan. So therefore, says the Mishnah, if you have something which would normally be translatable into value, now at this point the Gemara thinks that that means if you have a universal instrument of value, which means cash. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah would therefore be that you can even use cash if you specify, but I don't use it for its value. I only want to do it in exchange. Then it would be a kinyan, not of kesef, but of chalipin, in which the item that was being exchanged were coins. That's what the Mishnah thinks. And we're going to change that later on, possibly. So here it's saying, if I would register this as value, if I were coming to purchase something, and now I choose to give it an exchange, so then as soon as one is zoche in that item, the other one becomes now chayev for the chalipin. What do we mean by chayev for chalipin? Again, the din by cash is if I give cash for what it is that you're selling me, and I don't take possession, so there's no mishicha, and then there's a fire in the warehouse. Who's responsible for the loss of the item? The seller. Because there was no mishicha. But when it comes to chalipin, it's the buyer who becomes now the full owner, even though he hasn't taken possession. Because in the exchange, the other person taking possession, that makes me now the full violin of what I was going to take possession of. Ketzad. Now this Ketzad is a little bit confusing because the Mishnah opened, at least we thought it opened, with the discussion of cash, something which has universal value and that can be translated into anything else. So the Ketzad ought to be if somebody gives cash for a cow, not as payment, but rather in exchange for a cow, etc., etc. Instead, the Mishnah switches gears and says, for instance, hichlif shor bipara. Somebody now is switching a bull for a cow, or chamor bishor, or a completely different species for a bull. Kivan shezacha zenit chayav ze bechalifav. So the moment one takes possession of one, the other one now is the one who is in possession as far as responsibility is concerned of the other. Okay, so first says the Gemara, so what are we saying here? Chalif, and you opened up the idea over here with kolanas and domim ba'acher. That sounds to me like matbea. Mind you, what is the chalipin that you're describing here? A coin, because otherwise what's the kolanas and domim ba'acher? By the way, the rush changes the girsa, because the word chalipin doesn't make much sense. When it says over here chalipin, it really should say kolanas and domim ba'acher, because that's our problem, is with those words. That's the rush's girsa. So what is that? My new kolanasa dami bacher cash. So in other words, you're telling me shma mina matbea nase chalipin. I thought we passed that you can't use cash for chalipin. That's what we've been assuming all along earlier in the Masechta. So how could it mean chalipin? Rav Yehuda, no. It doesn't mean anything that has universal value and can be exchanged, therefore, for anything else. What it means is, kol ha-naseh damim means kol ha-nishom damim ba'akher. Anything which, if you would want to exchange it for another item, would require translation into value in order for you to determine whether it's worth it. So in other words, Bedafka is saying something that isn't cash. Anything that isn't cash, that kivan shezachas and it chayev b'chalifav. So then it can be used as a kinyan that is not similar to kinyan kesef, where in giving the kesef you can still change your mind until it was a meshicha. In that case, it becomes an immediate kinyan as soon as one or the other of the individuals takes possession of the opposite item.
What are commodities considered to
be? Oh, we'll see. Dekanami. And we can be medayik this from the next words. Diktani, ketzad, what do I mean by that? Now obviously if it meant cash, it should have to say ketzad, what do I mean by that? You put down coins on one side, and the other guy has a shor on the other side, but that's not what it says. Instead it says, hichliv shor bipara, o chamor bishor shmamina. So clearly, the Mishnah is not referring to cash, because otherwise the continuation is absolutely mad. Hey, you know, what the heck were you thinking? I understand. The way you understand the Mishnah initially, where you thought it was referring to Badbeya Nasa Khalipin, how the heck did you read those words? How could you have thought that even? My Ketzat. So how did you understand the Mishnah's continuation? For instance, it's not a for instance, right? If the whole Kiddush of the Mishnah is that you can use Matbeya, so how do you give me a for instance that's referring to a classic non-Matbeya Khalipin? If that's the opposite of what you're trying to prove. No, we thought like this. We thought, initially, when we thought it was referring to coins, we thought the Mishnah was saying two completely different issues. We thought it was saying like this. First of all, you should know that you're wrong, and you can use a matbea for chalip, and that's the first thing. And therefore, we begin with kol ha-naseh damim ba'acher. Not only that, says the Mishnah, you're also wrong about your assumption, and this is really a machlokas, as we're going to see. When it says, v'shalath ish na'alo, and it says in the story of Rut, does it mean dafke na'alo? It has to be some type of utensil? Or could it be even any product, a commodity? Not a kli, not a utensil that is usable. And that's what Naftali was asking. So now the Mishnah is coming along to say, and as far as your other contention, that chalipin can only be done with a na'al, it's also not true. Perot nami av de chalipin. You can use produce for chalipin. Ketzad, hichliv shor bepara, meaning, hichliv basar shor bepara. So now we're understanding it to say the ultimate. Because, I mean, a shor, you could say, well, I mean, a shor is sort of like a shoe, in that it's usable. I mean, an animal is also a utensil, you know. I mean, it's a machine. So maybe that's why it's kosher. So, therefore, it's coming to say, look, there's no limitations over here. Even besar shar bepara, or besar chamor beshar, that's also valid chalipin, and certainly a chamor for a shar itself. Kivan shezachazeh nitchayev b'chalipin. That means that there's two separate chidushim in the Mishnah. One chidush that's what we thought. One chiddush that matbea is good, the other chiddush that perot are good. That's what we thought. Okay, I mean, lemaisa, now that we're saying that the Mishnah is not coming to tell me that the perot are good, so now the Mishnah is coming, that the matbea is good, so the Mishnah is only coming to tell me one thing. The Mishnah's chiddush is that anything at all is kosher as long as it's not a matbea. There's also a chiddush. The problem is, and not everybody agrees that Kiddush is true. Because as I mentioned earlier, there's a machloket about how to understand the na'al in the story of Rut. So, hey, nichol Rav Sheshet, diyamat perot avdei chalipin. Look, it's all very nice. If you hold the Rav Sheshet, you could say that the Mishnah could have made sense either way. In other words, the way we originally understood it, that it's kept telling me two chidushim. Well, the way we understand it now, that's coming to tell me a single chiddush, but in both events, we were saying that anything at all can be used for chalipin. Even perot. Okay, that's true according to Rav Sheshet. But according to Rav Nachman, who holds perot lo avdei chalipin. So now, what are you going to say that the Mishnah is saying? What's Michael Amema? So says the Gemara, well, there's a third possibility for the Mishnah. And this is a brilliant possibility. This is a massive chiddush. That sometimes, the Mishnah is saying, money boils down to chalipin. Even though it's, technically speaking, a kinyan kesef and not a kinyan chalipin. When would this happen? If it's not included under the general takana that we made about kinyan kesef and mashiach. So remember, the way that we understand it is that midyoraita, kesef is a proper kinyan. And once a person paid money, the truth is if a fire breaks out in the warehouse, it's his problem. It's not the seller's problem. But because of that, the Rabbana made a takana that money is not enough to make a kinyan. You need to actually take possession, and that way sellers will remain responsible for what it is that they're selling, right? And that was the takana, Shema Yomarlo Nisrafu Chitecha Ba'aliya. I'm really sorry, but there was a fire, you know, well, your 200,000 rands of wheat is gone. Sad. Yeah. So we want to avoid that. But remember that we have a klal. And the klal is that any takana drabonan is always made to cover normative cases. If you have an unusual case drabonan, don't bother making a takana that covers that case. So how about in a case where somebody buys, let's say, a shor from another person, he owes them money for that shor. The person who sold the shor, initially expected to be paid in cash, suddenly realizes that he needs a chamor, and this guy's got a chamor. So he says to him, you know what, how about instead of paying me the money you owe me for the shor, how about you give me a chamor? So over there, since that really is kesef, as a matter of fact, it's a problem, because it shouldn't even be kesef, right? Because we saw that in the case of an isha, if you try to use a milva, makadosh b'milva, and a makadosh. Later on, we're going to see that that's true about kinyan sara also, but hakena b'milva also in a konui, because there's no transference of money. I already gave you that money. It's just a debt that is owed, right? Okay, so the Rishonim deal with that problem. Some learn that it means over here with the hanah of the fact that you don't have to pay me, like we said by the Isha, with the hanah milva. But whatever the case is, this is not a normal transaction. This is a transaction that starts midway between two events. All of a sudden, I, the seller, decide I really want your chamor. So it's a cash transaction, which now is acted out as if we're switching a chamor for a shor. The Rabbanan's takana that cash doesn't help and that we're worried about nisufuchi techa ba'aliyah doesn't apply to this case. That's what the Mishnah is saying. So let's see that inside. So you're asking, according to Rav Nachman, Ma'ikel Meima, I'll tell you, the Mishnah is saying a kiddush like this. Yesh damim she'en kechalifin. There is such a category of a cash transaction in which we view it as essentially the same dinim as chalif. What would be the case? Ketzad. Hichlif demei shor bipara. The money that was owed to you for a shor, you switch now for a para that the other guy owns. O demei chamor bishor. You want a shor, you sold the guy a chamor. In that case, you can't change your mind. Once that's accepted, there's a transference and it's viewed as chalipin. You already got the cash? Yeah? Sure you did, because it was money that you owed me. Now the guy said, you don't owe me. Okay, so now the cash is mine. Then the transaction is done. Says the Gemara, what's the logic behind that, my timer? Because be'etzem, we're assuming in the Mishnah of the Karibiyochran, Yom HaDvar Torah, Ma'ot Konot, that meteorite cash is the primary way of making a kinyan. Umatam amru mishicha kona, why then did we change it to say that you have to actually take possession, and that becomes the kinyan. Gzeira shema yomar lo nisufuchi techa ba'aliyah. Because we're worried that he's not going to take responsibility for a fire in the warehouse. Therefore, milta de shchicha gozer barabon. A typical transaction where somebody's taking money out of a wallet and giving it over, that's where the gzeira is, that the kinyan kesef doesn't help. But milta de lo shchiyacha. In this case, it's not normal. Nothing really changes hands, and all of a sudden we finish a transaction. Over there, lo gazer evei rabbanan. But of course, this entire logic only works on Levit Rabbi Yochanan, that kesef is the primary kinyan. But if you hold like Reish Lakish, you hold no. On the contrary, Mashiach is a diuraita. That Mashiach mufureshet min haTorah, like we learned out for the pasuk of Knei Miyad. So that's the diuraita is Mashiach, not kesef. So then, oh man, Reish Lakish is in our order over here. Because look, if Reish Lakish holds like Reb Sheshet, who holds that you can use peirot, okay, so then the Mishnah is coming to tell me a chiddush, they use peirot. But if he holds like Reb Nachman, the Mishnah is hopeless. It can't mean cash, it can't mean peirot. He doesn't believe that there's such a thing as a cash similar to chalipin, because according to him, cash would always be kena. So, I mean, Mashiach is always the way to be kena. So what does the Mishnah mean? Saying, it works out, if things would be, you know, in a perfect world, then Reish Lakish could hold like Reb Sheshet, and he's got one simple way of learning the Mishnah. He learns like Reb Sheshet. Remember, peirot have the chalipin. That peirot do good for chalipin, so then obviously Metaritz Reb Sheshet will understand that the Mishnah is going on Liba, that explanation. That the chiddush of the Mishnah is kol anishum. I don't care what it is as long as it's not cash. It could be even peirot. It's perfectly kosher for chalipin. Ketza, boser, chamor, for boser, shor, etc. Right? But they isavalak Reb Nachman, diyama perod lo avde chalib, and furthermore matbea lo avde lokani. So what's he going to do? He's got no way of learning the Mishnah. He can't switch to a dummy that the rabbanon weren't goes wrong because there ain't no such animal according to him. Because but you're right, you need Mashiach. So b'may mukila, says the Gemara. Well, there's sometimes where you have no choice but to assume it's a perfect world. And al korchecha, Reb Sheshet's really, obviously, look, I mean, Reish Lakish clearly has got to hold like Reb Sheshet because he's got no alternative. Therefore, the explanation of the Mishnah, according to him, is, as we said, exactly as it was Reb Sheshet. Anything at all, as long as it's not cash, is kosher for chalipin. Even peretz, ketzah. Exactly. Very good. Reb Yisrael, we're ready for a Halakhic Mishnah. Reshut hagavoa bekesef, ureshut hahediot bechazaka. Furthermore, amirato legavoa kemisirato lahediot. So when it comes to a transaction that is being done with a gizbar of hegdesh, there the halacha is that everything is defined by money and not by mashiach. So by hegdesh, as the Torah tells us, v'natana kesef. The kamla, it's all a function of money. Whereas if you're buying from non-Hegdesh, then you have to do something that gives you chazakah, which of course for metatlin means mishicha. Furthermore, if you make a commitment to Hegdesh, that commitment is the carrying out of the commitment. So when you say shor zel ola, it is. Not you have to bring it for an ola. It now is an ola. Belongs to Hegdesh. So that's a whole brand new idea, which of course seems to obviate the need for the first idea, because then you don't need the kesef either, which Tosfos says later, which we'll talk about. In other words, you're telling me all you need to do is say it, so what do you need kesef for? What do you tell me you should say the kesef? Okay. Tana Rabba, Ketzad, what do we mean when we say Reshut HaGavoa the kesef? Well, here's what we mean. A gizbar comes along and buys a behemah from a regular guy. So he gives money for that animal. That animal could be located in Timbuktu. Afilu beima besofa olam. He is kena that animal without anything further. It is pure hegdesh. It's responsibility and so on, as if it's in the yada hegdesh. But behediot, if this were not a gizbar lo kana achim shoch, it would not be his, and the seller could change his mind. Over here, you can't change your mind. It's all over. Hegdesh bought it. That's it. And what do we mean when we say amiratola gavoa kemisiratola hediot? What we mean is that somebody says shor ze ola, or buy it ze hegdesh, even though it's not anywhere around, it filo besofa olam, it is immediately in the reshut of hegdesh. Whereas behediot, lo kana ach yimshoch, or yechazek, in the case of the shor, would be mishicha, the case of the buy it ze would be the chazakah. Moshko b'monas, and now the hedid goes and he actually takes possession of something from Hekdesh, but he hasn't paid for it yet. So lo yispik lifdoto. Now he comes and he had made up that it would be worth one mon or 100, wants to pay for it. The gizbar says, sorry, sir, but the price was just posted in the last half an hour. It's now 200. Sort of like what happened last week with the ram. So it's now 200. The guy is going to say, but I already was Moshe. Says the gizbar to him, I'm sorry, but you're dealing with Hekdesh. Bashika doesn't help you. Did you pay? No, you're going to have to pay 200. No, it's in my time. My time, why is this? Because the Pasuk says, Beferish, when it comes to pinyon of mama, of Kachim, it says, V'natan HaKesev, in the case of the Komla. So at that point, it becomes his. But if before he gives the money, it doesn't become his. On the other hand, Mashcho B'matayim, suppose he does the Mashicha, and the agreement was he was going to pay 200. V'lo yispik livdotat shamad b'mone, and now the price falls. This time the hedyot says, gotcha this time, buddy. I will say to you, okay, here I want to go ahead and pay the lower price. Yes, but when it comes to Hekdesh, I didn't pay, so I have to change my mind because you're Hekdesh. The gizbar says, what do you mean? You mean you're going to treat me worse than you would treat a hedyot? You can't do that. At least I'm as strong as a hedyot. So if you would have done a mishicha from a hedyot, you would have had to pay no matter what. You're going to have to pay me too. You can't turn around and say, well, but now I want the advantage of dealing with Hekdesh since I didn't pay you. Is that going to help? Now, on the other hand, let's say we have now the pidyon was part of Imatai. Let's say you did give the money. You paid your 200, but you did not do mishicha. Now it's only worth 100. You can't change your mind the way you would with a hedyot and say, look, you know, I didn't take possession. By Hekdesh, you don't need possession. Therefore, you'll have to pay matayim. My time, huh? Because when it comes to Hekdesh, v'natana kesef ekamlo, it's done, you already paid, it's too bad, you can't change your mind. Now, you would think that the opposite, we would say the same argument as we said before, but we don't. And here it's very interesting. Let's say you paid your cash, 100, but you didn't do the mashiach, and now it's worth 200. So now, what are you expecting to hear? Well, then you're going to have to pay 200 because we're not going to make Hekdesh worth less than a hedyot, right? But no. Here comes the surprise. In this case, over here, you only pay the money that you paid and the gizbar can't change his mind. Why not? We could say the same argument we said before. But how does Hekdesh come out less than a hedyot? Says the Gemara, it doesn't. Because the truth is, in a similar case of a hedyot, what would the halacha be? Oh, to hedyot, lav mishaparakoi. You're right that technically speaking, you could change your mind and say, well, now I don't want to sell it. I can get more. The fact that you already paid is tough. But if you did that, then you'd have to go through the ceremony of mishaparak, which means when somebody changes his mind after giving his word, despite the fact that technically speaking, the other person wasn't kena because he didn't take position. So what we say is, mi shepara mi dor hamabul, and so on. Hu yifra mi mi sheino hume bediburo. So that means that it's immoral. So for the hedyot really can't do it without going through that. Therefore, we don't put a hedyot and say, well, you have the same kayak of a hedyot. Hedyot doesn't really have the kayak. And therefore, in this case, Hekdesh is stuck. That they have to go according to the reality of Hekdesh, which is the mana. We're not going to make a takana, min rabbanan, that we shouldn't allow mammon to be kaita for Hekdesh in a case where it would be immoral to do so for a hedyot. Makes no sense to do so. I had begun discussing with you the issue of if you hold that amiratola gavoa kemisiratola hedyot, that there was a problem of what is the point of discussing whether kesef is kena once you already made the commitment. It shouldn't make any nafkamina. We had such a big discussion where it is that if you were kena with kesef, yad hegdesh is al elyona, and where it is that if you were kena with mashicha, there was a cases where not, but nothing should matter because bottom line is, whatever it is that you're doing, you're committing to doing in advance. So therefore, it's amirato legavoa. Straight up. It shouldn't make any nafkamina, whether it's... So Tosis is bothered by this, because the whole thing doesn't really seem to make any sense. So he says the only way to understand the sugis over here is that because of the immense change in the market values, we're talking about mana and matayim, the switch, it would have been, in terms of amirato bilvad, it would have been hegdish b'taut. Because he never intended to give it on that basis. And therefore, we need to come on to whether there already was a kinyan to make some nafkamina already. Because now he is mitzchayev, now it went up, so now he has to pay. Okay, just an aside.